Well, guys, thank you so much for being here today. It's so good to see you. I guess you got the message about changing your clocks. You know, you don't even have to send that out anymore. We all have those clocks that automatically change. So now that there's votes to, are we going to keep it this way? Are we going to move it that way? What are the clocks going to do then? Are they going to keep changing? And what if you're in Arizona, what happens? Because they don't change their clocks ever. So do their automatic clocks automatically change and they have to? Never mind. It's things that keep me awake at night. But I'm just so thankful that you are here today. We are in a series called Grateful Hearts, being grateful, having gratitude. And last week we talked about how gratitude changes everything. It changes the way we live, the way we respond, the way we look, the way we act, the way we talk. And this week we're going to take it a step farther, because gratitude not only fills our hearts, but it opens our hands. When our lives are filled with gratitude, then our lives become more generous. More generous with our finances, more generous with our time, more generous with our presence. And when we recognize how much God has given us, our natural response is to live like that, to give. When we open our hands to others, then we see God opening heaven's resources, not only to them, but to us as well. This morning, I had a lady come into the church, and she came in, and we were talking, and usually I try to be stoic. I try to be like, okay, I'm going to hear this story, and your story's going to get sadder and sadder and sadder until I give you all my credit cards, and you go and do everything. But as I was listening to her, God reminded me, Paul, you're preaching on this today. How dare you look at her with skepticism when I might have placed her in your life to see if you're going to walk the walk that you're going to talk today? And so as I listened to her and I prayed with her, I gave her a little bit of cash we had. And, you know, I hit up Clint and I hit up Jason and I hit up Steve. And we gave her a little bit of money. And then I took her down the road and I put gas in her tank. And she says, look, I'm going to come back to the church and I'm going to pay you back. And I'm like, this is not a loan. I mean, we're not a bank. We don't loan. This is, you know, God is impressing upon me to give to you. And immediately she just starts bawling. And I know I appear to be, you know, but man, I cry like a baby, you know. I'll tell you another one, Melvin Beach. He sounds like a gruff old bear, but man, you get him in the right mood, he'll start bawling everywhere. And when Melvin starts crying, everybody starts crying. But I was thinking, God, how you just gave me an object lesson. Because some people out there are struggling. And we hear the noise, the news and the noise of our culture, of the shutdown of the government. And I know a lot of the schools in Clayton County, schools that I taught at, schools that Margie taught at, schools that are around us, there are so many students that are living on the SNAP programs, that are living in, that are going basically from mouth to mouth and don't know where their next meal is coming from. And so they're filled with this uncertainty. So what are we going to do as a church? It just, watching her as she broke down, she was crying. I started crying a little bit. And then I felt a sense of joy, because that's the way God works. That it wasn't about me spending money. It was about an opportunity to invest. And have you ever noticed how sometimes joy and generosity go hand in hand? In fact, the old saying that we grew up with is, it's better to give than to receive. Because when we give, we see the joy on other people's face. And what happens, it's multiplied because we get joy of seeing their joy. And it kind of blesses us. The most joyful people I maybe have met in the world maybe are the ones that didn't have a lot. I remember we sent a team down to Jamaica to build a school. And I think they build the same school every year. The mission trip goes down there, and they think like, okay, and they go down there, and there's some concrete blocks, and they take a thing, and you just kind of paint it, and you think you've done your work. And there was a man there with no legs, and he would just kind of come up on his, you know, just up on his thing. And Russell, the associate pastor, was telling me about it. He would just kind of come up and just the biggest smile on his face, just thanking everybody for being there. Filled with joy, filled with the joy of the Lord. This guy had nothing. Living poor, didn't have any legs. I don't know what he did for a living, but he was filled with joy and so thankful that they were there doing that work. Well, today I want to kind of talk about that a little bit as we talk about being filled with gratitude. And Paul talks about this in the letter he writes to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, and it's filled with this harvest imagery that kind of fits perfectly with the fall season. I am in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 6, and I'm going to read through verse 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. You see what happens? You bless them. They receive that blessing, and what do? They thank God. And so they thank God, and then you are blessed as well. It's multiplied. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers, will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The first thing I think Paul wants us to see in that passage is something that I said a minute ago, that generosity is something that is sown, is something that is planted. Sometimes we think of it as something being spent. Oh, I got to spend it. I got to do this. I got to buy this. No, we are sowing it. It says this in verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds gets a small crop, but the one who plants generously will receive a generous crop. He uses the language here of the sowing and reaping. So giving isn't losing. You don't just give it and it goes away. What happens is when you give, you are planting seeds. And every time you give your resources, when you give your encouragement, when you give your prayers, you are planting seeds. And as you plant seeds, we pray that they will bear fruit in their lives and in your life. You know, Margie and I we've done gardens. We try to do gardens. And right now I'm waiting on my carrots to come up. And I go out there and I'm looking in the little green, you know, the top of the, what do you call that? The what? Carrot top. Oh, okay. The top of the carrot, you know, that little green thing sticking out of the ground. I can see it coming up. So I know something's happening. But have you ever seen a carrot seed? It's almost microscopic. I mean, I got the little package, and I'm thinking like $3 for this, you know, and I open it up, and there's like a million of them in there, and you can't hardly see them, and then you're supposed to just put a little, and I'm like, pfft. So I'm going to be thinning out, I hope, if I hadn't crushed them or whatever. But the idea is, in that little seed that's planted, wonderful things happen. The little things that you do, the little bit of money that you give, the prayer that you give, saying a bit of encouragement to somebody, spending some time with somebody, those little things that you think really don't amount to anything make a huge difference and pay a huge dividend down the road. You are planting seeds. When we view generosity as sowing and not spending, then we can stop asking, what am I going to lose? Yeah, this is all I have. And we start asking, what is God going to grow from this? Now, I don't know if the lady, I mean, she was, I thought she was sincere. She goes, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I want to come visit your church. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I've learned not to hold my breath, but maybe God is planting a seed in her. Maybe that seed was planted, and maybe she'll come back. And when she comes back, who knows? Maybe her life will be changed forever. And it didn't really cost us anything. What would God grow? Generosity is sown. It's not something that we spend. I said the second thing I think that Paul talks about, look at verse 7, that generosity comes from a cheerful heart. It says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Paul says, each of you must give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Now, I got to admit that I compelled Steve and Clint and Jason. Well, I don't know if I compelled them or not. I walked up and said, hey, you got any cash on you? And they're like, yeah, sure, what do you need? And when I said, oh, I want to help this lady out, immediately it went back in the pocket. Well, I don't know, you know. But they did, and they gave a lot. And it's like, you know, I'm not asking for that. I'm just a little bit, you know. But God isn't looking for us to be guilty in giving. He delights in cheerful giving because cheerful giving comes out of gratitude. Thank you for the blessings you've given me, God, so I want to share these blessings with other people. I love how kids get excited whenever they do giving. In school, this is weird, in elementary school, they would have the book fairs. You know, book fair days. Those of you that are parents and you have kids, you know you had to give your kids a ton of money, and they would go buy overpriced books and pencils and things like that, but they would always buy something for mom. I need another $2. What do you need $2 for? I really want to get something for mom. Well, what are you going to get her? I saw a pencil that had this cool robot eraser. Okay, mom may like that or may not, but for the kid, he was filled with joy. I remember Philip just being so filled with joy, like, I'm going to give mom this. And it's like, okay, I can go buy a pencil for a couple pennies, and I could go find a, you know, an eraser to put on there. But no, just to see his face and how he lights up because he wants to give a gift. And we see that with our kids. When Della has the kids draw pictures or they do something that will go on your refrigerator, you see their joy when they come running into you and say, like, look what we did in Sunday school today. Will you hang this up? I want to give this to you, Mom. I want to give this to you, Dad. Will you put this on the refrigerator? Hey, look what we did today. And there is joy in their heart because they are giving. When our hearts are filled with gratitude, it's joy, it's not a duty. And our giving and our generosity becomes an act of worship. It's a way of saying, God, you have been so good to me, and I want to be good to others. And then I think one of the last points that Paul is making in here, that the generosity is multiplied. The thanksgiving is multiplied. This is what it says in verse 11 and 12. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. In other words, God's going to continue to bless you. And the more you give, the more he's going to bless you. And I'm not going to be like one of those prosperity churches, like, you just keep giving me, and your life will be blessed. No, you keep doing that, I'll be blessed, and you're going to be poor. But you give to where God is telling you to give, what you've decided in your heart. And you give generously, and God bless you. And you're not looking for the blessing. You're not paying for the blessing. You are giving to others, and it results in this thanksgiving to God. It's because the generosity that you're doing doesn't just meet their need. It multiplies worship. It says they will be blessed, and when they are blessed, you're blessed. So already it doubled, and then they give thanks to God, and that's a third level. So there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Every dollar given, every meal shared, every kindness extended, every kind word that you say, every time you just sit there and listen to somebody, it all points back to the giver of every good and perfect gift. Think about our church, how God puts on our hearts that there are people that are less fortunate than us. When we first started a church and we were going in the elementary schools and we were like the church, it popped out of the box. We would set it up, then we put it all back in the box, and you know, because we were in schools, and we were just pouring out into the blessing into the ministry of others. We would find a need. And one of the needs that we did in the area when we were at Mount Zion, there was a huge homeless community that was in Henry County, right there in the Stock Bridge. And so it put on the heart of some of the people to say, like, you know what? We want to minister to them. And so one Sunday every month, what we would do is we would pack up the church, put it back in the box, we'd load it into a trailer, take the trailer down the road, we would open it up, take some of the stuff back out, we'd set up a speaker and stuff, and we would have a worship service, and then we would feed these homeless. It was because God put it on your heart. Not to see what we could, because what were we going to get out of that? Were they going to pay us for that? No. What we got out of that was to see God move in the lives of people. And we saw how God was generous with us and how when we blessed them, and every one of them said, God bless you, thank you. God bless you, thank you. They were given, made us feel good. They were praising God for the little that they got. We also, when we first came into this building, we said, you know what? There are children in some schools right around us that don't have food on the weekends. We didn't realize that there are homeless students in our elementary schools. And so what we did, we put together a backpack ministry that we said, you know what? What we're going to do is take food, and we're going to fill these backpacks, and so the kids could take these backpacks home on the weekends so it doesn't look like, okay, you're needy, and look what we're doing for you. No, it became a thing like, hey, here's a backpack. Take it home. And when they took it home, they had food for the weekend. Right now, we're asking for you to bring in some supplies for students at one of the elementary schools, hand sanitizer, soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, things that we take for granted that they don't even have. And we've already sent tons of stuff over there. We need girls, female products, feminine products, things that we don't even think about. We need hair stuff for young black girls because their hair is different. Something I never thought about because I'm losing my hair. So it's like I never even thought about it. But things we take for granted, y'all. And there are people that don't have any. And so what are we doing? We give. And God puts us on our heart. And when we give, we feel a sense of joy because we are planting seeds. And we're hoping down the road maybe something will be born spiritually from that. Generosity is contagious. It turns gratitude from just saying, hey, thanks, and it turns it into a movement. How can we be the church? How can we be the hands and the feet of God? When we live open-handed, we live free. We stop clinging and holding on to the things that we think we have to have, and we start trusting God who provides. Margie and I, all our lives, we were like, oh, we got to have this, we got to have this, we got to have this, we got to have this. Now Margie and I are going like, okay, we got to get rid of this, we got to get rid of this, we got to get rid of this. And we all go through phases like that. We were cleaning out the back there. Sandra was cleaning out the back, and she goes, I found these old plates, and they got like little kids on them. Those plates are Bradford plates. And they got the kids on there because they're all hymns. Like Jesus loves the little children. And then all of these, the Lord is my shepherd, and all they're special plates. Sandra goes, just get rid of them, take them to Goodwill. It's like, no, wait. But Paul, they've been sitting on the shelf back there for like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I had them on my wall when I first got here. So if you want some Bradford plates of little kids with the hymn on the back, let me know. We have some, and I can hook you up today. and then maybe it'll be a blessing for you. But Margie and I, we don't need any more plates at our home. We have tons of plates. I gave my mom and dad. My dad was so into Gone with the Wind and the historic Jonesboro Society, you know, Stately Oaks and all that other stuff, that I bought him all those Bradford plates of the Gone with the Wind. There's Scarlett O'Hare. There's Rhett Butler. There's Ashley with his red hair. There's Melly. No, not Melly Meadows. I guess she was the fake Scarlett O'Hare. But all of those plates. And then my dad dies. And my mom gives all those plates back to me. I have no use for the plates. They are sitting in boxes in a closet. And Margie and I are going like, we need to get rid of this stuff. Generosity is not just giving our seconds, not giving our leftovers. It's realizing we don't have to have a lot of the things that we think we have to have. And it lets us be free. And we can live simply. And we move closer to this Advent season. And God is asking us, hey, I want you to celebrate my coming into history, being born, and Jesus will be born, and we celebrate that, and we're excited about that. But we look at the way he lived, how people mattered, and he gave his time. He gave his blessings. He gave his ministry, and that's what we are called to do. I want you to, as we get ready to take communion, just spend a little bit of time silently and say, God, how can I grow in generosity this week? What are you calling me to do? Is it with my words? Maybe make that phone call to somebody, encouragement. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's, you know, hey, I've been putting this off. I really need to do this for this person or with this person. Or maybe it's your resources. Maybe it's financial resources. Maybe it's bringing a meal to somebody. But I want you to see every act of giving that you do is an act of worship, and it's an act of seed planting. Father, you've given us everything that we need and more. Father, teach us to sow generously, to give cheerfully, and to trust you completely. And may our open hands reflect your open heart. And may our generosity lead many to give thanks to you. And Father, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.